Here's what is true for all of us, and this isn't a Christian thing, this is just a thing, that you are being formed by something. You're being formed by a lot of somethings. But for many of us, we've never decided on purpose, what am I going to allow to form my life? What am I gonna let shape me and change me and help me to become the person that I am today and going forward? There's a lot of things that happened in your life that you didn't have a choice. You didn't choose where you were born or who you were born to. Those things certainly did form you, but they don't have to be your identity. They don't have to be the thing that makes you who you are. We can choose to be formed by Jesus. And at some point in all of our lives, and it happens a lot of times when you transition seasons, and maybe it's a New Year's, or you started married, or you started having kids, a lot of times we start to ask this question, at least I do, how can I be a better version of me? You ever ask that question? Now, how can I be better? That's what a lot of New Year's resolutions are, because we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, there's some things about me that I would like to change. There's some things about me that I would like to be better. And some of it is physical, you know, I'd like to fit into some clothes that I used to be able to fit into, or I should really read some books, or I should really spend more time here and doing things. But when we dig in a little bit deeper, I think there's also parts of us that are more character related. Like, how can I be more patient? And why do I lose my temper so quickly? And why am I unkind? And why do I keep going back to this thing that I know that it's not the best for me, and I know that I should. And so we do all these things and we try really, really hard. And you'll have some success for a while, and then we kind of fall back into that pattern. And then we'll get a little bit more inspiration and we'll move forward, and then we'll fall backwards. And eventually we get so frustrated and we say, I'm not sure that this is even worth it. Maybe this is just who I am. And so this morning, what we're gonna talk about in week number two of this series is that what Jesus promises is that real lasting change is possible, that you can have, just like I can have, real lasting change, that is part of what it looks like to be a Christian. To be a follower of Christ invites us into a life of changing and forming our life and our mind and our words and our thoughts more and more into the image of Jesus. And not for Christians, not only is it possible, for Christians, it's expected that you should, Jesus is gonna tell us here in a second, you should be growing, you should be changing. Just as a child, if a child doesn't grow and change and develop, we all know there's something not right there. And so we'll see a doctor, we'll see some nutritionists, we'll do whatever we need to see, because we know that naturally children should grow. And when you come to faith in Jesus, it's almost as if you are this brand new person. Because again, what we said last week is that God doesn't want to make you a better version of you. That's not God's goal. God's goal is not to make you a shined up version of you. He wants to make you brand new. He was talking to Nicodemus, you remember? And he said, you must be born again. It's a brand new life, a brand new identity. And so when we get that brand new life, it's as if we're a baby, but then if we're not growing and changing and developing, we should look in the mirror and we should say, there's something not right. There's something wrong, because I'm still fighting these things and I'm still in this pattern. What Jesus promises is that you don't just have to be a better version of you, you can be a new version. And that real change, that lasting change that you're seeking is possible. And Jesus is going to show us how. If you have a Bible with you, and if you want to follow along, we're going to be in John chapter 15. We looked at this about a year and a half ago. Some of you might have been here, but John chapter 15, if you have your phone with you, and if you want to follow along, you can go to todayssermon.com. Todayssermon.com. It'll have the scriptures and some of the main points. You can save that for later, or everything's going to be up here on the screen. But let me just give you a little bit of context. Jesus is just finished up with the Last Supper. Remember on Good Friday that he had his Last Supper. Judas has already betrayed him. He's went to give the religious leaders those coins. Jesus is trending towards the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to be arrested, then he's going to be tried, and he's going to be beaten, and he's going to be crucified. So that's the context. And Jesus, after being with these disciples for 3.5 or so years, is giving them these last minute, here's what you need to know. Things are getting ready to change. Judas has already betrayed him. He's down to 11, and Jesus starts with this. John chapter 15, we'll just make a few comments along the way. I am, here's the important part, just to start, I am the true vine. So Jesus starts by recognizing that there are imitations out there, and we know this to be true, that if there is such a thing as a true vine, that deduces to there's false vines. If there is something that's true, that means there's something that isn't true. And for all of us, myself, I'm in this boat, that it's so easy for me to get connected to a vine that I think is gonna give me life, and I connect myself to it, but when I get down the road, I realize, oh, that didn't give me the life that I thought. I thought that climbing the corporate ladder, if I connected myself to that, if my paycheck got better, then my stress would be less and I would be happier. And maybe for a minute it worked because I was able to afford a better vacation, but now I'm just having to put in the overtime and I'm having to do extra and I'm connected to this, what I thought was a good vine, but it's just not giving me life. A lot of us connect ourselves to the political systems or to social media systems, and we think this person getting elected, or if these people like me, or if I can find value in here, then I'll finally have the life that I find and that I want and the change that I so desperately hope for. And maybe again, it gives me that for a minute, but at the end of the day, it's lifeless. It can't fulfill what I need. And so Jesus comes along and he says, I'm the one. That if you want life, and if you want change, and if you want something to last, you need to disconnect from imitation vines, and I want you to connect to me. That he would say later, or previously to this, he would say that nobody, you know this, that nobody can serve two masters. You'll love one, and you'll hate the other, or you'll despise one, and love the other. And we find ourselves in our culture today trying to be connected to all of these different things and all of these different avenues. I feel bad, and I feel stressed, and I feel anxious, and I feel all of these things. Where is the life coming from? And everybody, every commercial, it says, this is what you need. And Jesus comes along and says, no, I am. This is me. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. And then he goes on and he says, if you'll just connect to him, you will be transformed. It's just inevitable. We're going to see it in a second. If you'll connect to him, it won't be instant. It'll be a lifelong process, but you will begin to change. And here's four things that Jesus would tell us the change looks like. Just from John chapter 15, he's going to say this, that change, first of all, is relational. Change is relational. That you have to find yourself in not just I'm near Jesus, or I know things about him, or I kind of have learned when to stand and when to sit, and I learned some prayers when I was a child. You need to find yourself personally connected to him. The language that we use in church world is you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You've heard that. Well, this is what Jesus said in verse number 1 and number 2. Let me read it again. I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, well, he removes, and then he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that, purpose statement, it will produce more fruit. And so again, remember the context, they had just watched Judas abandon them. Judas had saw all the miracles that they had seen, he'd heard all the teachings, he had seen extraordinary things that we can't even imagine, and yet it was a superficial connectedness, that he was there, but he wasn't connected. He was near, but there wasn't the relationship. And Jesus says, we can be in that same boat, that we can know the things and we can have an understanding of things, but if there is not a connectedness, if there is not a relationship, we get removed. And you can't, the same with me, that we can't live like Jesus until you live with Jesus. Attending service, attending a church service, I'm so glad that you're here, please come back. But this is not the answer. Just gathering in rows, there's no sticker on your sticker chart, that it is a personal, connected relationship. I want to know Jesus. Jesus would previously in Matthew said it this way, that you'll recognize them. He's talking about these religious people and Pharisees who on the outside look really good and they know all the right things and they can say the right things and they're religious people. We're kind of in that boat. He says, you'll actually recognize them. What type of fruit are they producing? Because not everyone, this is Jesus. If you got a problem, you got to take it up with Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy and drive out demons? And didn't we do many miracles in your name? Didn't we attend to some services? And didn't we have some Bible verses memorized? And didn't I learn the prayer? And didn't I go to the class? And I did all of the things. But then I'll say to them, there was no relationship. There was head, I knew some things, but your heart wasn't connected. And so change comes not from being in this service today. Change doesn't come from being connected to this church. Change doesn't come from being connected to me. It can be part of it, but if that is all that there is, you'll find yourselves in that cycle of, I don't know if this God thing is really working. I don't know if this religious thing that I'm trying is really providing any value, because I know some things, but if your heart isn't connected, well, there's no transformation. There might be inspiration, there might be encouragement, you might feel better, but transformation happens, they know me, they're connected to me. And then not only is change relational, but this is hard, change is painful. I mean, nobody that I know of loves change, but change, if we're going to be transformed and formed into the image of Jesus, we just have to recognize Jesus is going to say it. There's actually some pain that's involved, because what he'll start to do is he'll start to remove some things, and he'll start to point out some things, and he'll say, that's not the way you should live anymore. That's not the way that you should talk anymore, and that way of thinking, that's not the best. And he'll remove some things, and in the moment, man, it hurts. So I've always been like this. This is always the way that I've done it. My dad was like this, and his dad was like this, and it just comes so naturally, and change is painful. Verse number 2, we'll read it again. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And then all the ones that we have that connection, we have that relationship, what it is? Well, he prunes every branch so that it will produce, he wants you to produce more fruit. I watched a YouTube video because I love YouTube. It's one of my favorite things in the world. I did a little, we call it sermon research. And really it was just, I was just being fed the algorithm of YouTube, but we'll call it, because I'm spiritual, sermon research. And so I found myself watching a sermon or a video of vine dressers like trimming off vines. And it seemed so aggressive. Later on this afternoon, right before you're getting ready to fall asleep because you have a great lunch and everything's going good and the kids are quiet and the Kansas City Chiefs aren't playing for a couple weeks, and so you don't have to worry about that and all these things, just go onto YouTube and just Google pruning grapes and just watch how aggressive they are. But here's what you recognize, and I watched the interview because, again, I went down the rabbit hole because that's the way my mind works. They did this interview with this gardener, and he talks about, well, this is actually, there was just this wreckage around him, things that had been chopped off and cut off, and from my perspective, it looked so green. I mean, there was leaves, and it was growing, and it looked fruitful, but the gardener had a better view, and he said, this is actually, if I let this continue to grow, it's going to suck life from the branch, and it's not going to produce fruit. One commentator said this, that a gardener never removes anything that wouldn't have been a loss to keep and a gain to lose. That's what Jesus is saying. That the gardener, because he loves us and he knows that what is best for you is to be transformed, I need to not just give you things, God will bless you, but he'll also remove some things. He might remove some people. He might remove some ideas that you had, and it can be difficult. And then the gardener said, I'm pruning it not for this year, but I'm pruning it for the future. And in our life, it's the same. Jesus understood what he's talking about. The pruning in my life today is painful, but in the future, it helps me to be more fruitful. And your fruitfulness and my fruitfulness and my ability to be formed more and more into the image of Jesus comes down to my willingness. Will I let the gardener do his work? Because you can resist and you can say, no, I'm not interested. No, I think I'll keep doing what I want to do. I know that you've pointed that thing out, but I'm just going to keep it. It feels good. It's comfortable. I've always been this way. I just think that this is okay, and I just want to do this. And if I do that, God will say, okay, I'm not going to prune you. I'm not going to force you to do anything, but my fruitfulness and your future fruitfulness is determined by today. Am I willing to let God do what he wants to do? Am I willing to let God say, Kyle, that attitude, that doesn't work. And that mentality, that's not for me. And so you need to remove that. You need to change that. The author to the Hebrews said it this way, for they disciplined us, talking about our parents, they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them. And that's what you do as parents. You have an understanding of, I think this is best for my kids. And so we discipline them because you love them. But he, talking about God, does it for our benefit. Why? So that we can share in his holiness. He goes on to say, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but here's our word. It is painful. It is hard to have self-discipline. It is hard to say, I'm not gonna move in that direction. But later on, however, listen to this, write this down. Later is longer. Later is longer. I know that it feels good today and right now, but God has something better in mind, and later is longer. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by. And I know, for me, I would love it that if I could just say, God, here's my temper, and here's my anger, and here's my attitudes, and here's my mind. And if you could just transform that immediately, that would be so great. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And sometimes God in his mercy does that. I've heard a few stories about drug addicts just like overnight being changed and overnight saying, I just lost my full taste. And we want that, but that's not for most people, that's not the reality. Because what that means is that there's really been no chance to grow. Where does the growth happen? The growth happens in the discipline. The growth happens in, I really want, but I'm gonna lean on your grace instead. If God just removes every problem instantly, I never learn to rely on his grace, and I never learn to rely on his mercy. And so he will help me to form things and to be removed from things, but most of the time he doesn't do it just like that, because he wants to learn, help us to learn, just rely on me. You're having that temptation, you're wanting to pick that thing back up, you're wanting to move in that. I'm not going to remove all of those ideas from you. But in this moment, now you're at a crossroads. You asked me to help you. You asked me to prune you. You've asked to be formed in my image. Now you're at the crossroads. You've got this temptation. Are you going to pick it back up? Are you going to rely on my grace? Are you going to pick it back up? Or are you going to lean on my ability to give you strength when you are weak? It's painful, but it's worth it. You ever worked out? Painful, but worth it. I mean, it would be great if when you bought the exercise equipment, just by looking at the exercise equipment, all of a sudden you got smaller. Wouldn't that, what a gift that would be if somebody could invent that. I mean, come on, somebody, I'll buy whatever I need to buy. And just by being in the same room as it, I start to find my six pack, and I start to find even a one pack. I'd be open to a one pack, whatever packs are available. I'm interested, but that's not, discipline is what brings change. And it can be painful. So change is relational, change is painful, and change is, this is the good part, change is continual. That it's this ongoing, it's not a one-time decision. It's not, I decide and then I'm good for the rest. It's continual. Verse number 4, it says this, remain in me. I want you to stay. Not just remain as part of a church gathering, but remain, remember, it's a relational, remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself. That's why you're so frustrated. Because you've been trying to do it on your own and your own strength and your ability. Jesus said, no, you can't do it. It's not possible. And you can get a little ways. You can make a little bit of change. But if you want real, lasting, transformational fruit, it comes from remaining in me. You cannot produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. Remain, some translation, just say abide. That you're just, there's no shortcut. It's just, I'm just going to spend time. I'm just gonna stay connected. That I'm not gonna let the next time that I meet with God be next Sunday at 10:15. I mean, imagine your marriage. Is your marriage gonna be healthy if you spend 1 hour a week with your partner? Of course it's not. Now, it might last. You might be able to make it through, but it's not gonna be dynamic. It's not gonna be healthy. It's not gonna be life-giving, because it's just every now and again. And so Jesus says, if you want change that lasts, if you want to have something that will stand this test of time, you've got to remain. He would go on in verse number 9 and 10, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, and I just want you to remain in my love. Now, here's the beauty of God, that God's primary position towards you is one of love. God's primary idea of you is, I love you. There are some things about you that I want to change, but while we're changing that, would you just remain in the fact that I love you, and if you'll keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Time plus relationship is what equals change. Put in the time. I tell young people this all the time, because sometimes people will come to church and they'll say, man, I just want to be instantly, I need my marriage fixed, or I need this thing. And I'll tell them, you've got to at least give God the same amount of time as you gave the devil. Okay, like if you gave the devil a decade of your life, give God a decade of your life. Don't get so mad at God that after a month that's still the same and you haven't changed and I'm still in this thing. You've been running with the devil for all these years. Give God some time. Time with relationship is what equals the change. I saw this quote last week. I just loved it. Never underestimate how God can start something big through just one small act of obedience. He starts it, he doesn't complete it, but he'll start it. So if this morning, if you're gathered with us and if you realize, man, God has been pointing out something in me and God has been wanting to change something in me, but I've been resistant to it, what would it look like for just one small step of obedience? Just one time saying, okay, God, I'm gonna trust you and I'm gonna lean on your grace. And when that temptation comes, I'm gonna lean on your strength and I'm gonna trust that you know better, and just watch what happens. Give God a year of your life and just see if God doesn't totally transform your life. See if he doesn't transform your marriage. See if he doesn't transform your mind. If you will just go all in and say, God, if you want to transform me, I want to be transformed. And so I'm willing to be in relationship and I'm willing to go for the pain and I'm willing to be connected. And what will happen at the end is that change is inevitable. It's relational, it's painful, it's continual, and at the end of the day, it's inevitable. You won't be able to help but produce fruit. It will happen automatically. Verse number 5, it says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. It's just automatic. How does fruit come? Just by staying connected. I've said this illustration before. You've never went out to your garden and heard your tomato plants grunting and moaning and really working to grow. It's not what they do. They just remain connected. And as long as they're connected, they're gonna grow. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, you're just gonna produce fruit. What type of fruit are you looking for? Well, Paul would say in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Anybody interested in some of those? Anybody could use some peace in your life? Anybody need a little more self-control? Anybody be a little bit edgy with your spouse or with your kids and could use some patience? It's available to you. It wants to be, God wants to form that in you. It's inevitable if you'll remain. If you'll be willing to say, God, if you want to remove some stuff, I'll let you do it. The branch doesn't get the vine because it's fruitful. In other words, that I don't really work hard and get myself together and then say, God, hey, aren't you proud of me? Look at how good I did. No, it's fruitful because it's connected. And so you can't start the process by saying, God, I'm really gonna do good. And I've got my self-discipline up and I'm inspired and I'm really gonna do it, and get to the end of the week and say, God, aren't you proud of me? That's a terrible way to start. Start with, God, I'm a broken, messed up person who has made an absolute wreck of my life. There's shrapnel all around me. I've wounded people. I've hurt people. I don't have any peace. I'm impatient. I'm not very kind. I don't have any self-control. But if you want to be connected to me, I want to be connected to you. And as you do that, it's inevitable. You won't be able to help but change. Verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I mean, you talk about the gospel, that God looked at the broken mess of your life and said, I'd sure love to be with them. And God looked at all of the times you promised and didn't, and said, this is the one, I'm really gonna do it, and you failed, and he said, I still wanna be with you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and your fruit should remain. Why? So that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give you. What has changed? How can we be formed into the image of God? Well, it's relational, it's painful. Some of you need to just be willing to go through that because you know that God's been pointing some things out in your life. And you know that God has been inviting you to stop or to start. And there's a resistance in you because you know that means leaving some things behind. It'll be, I'm just telling you, it will be worth it. But it is painful. It's continual. You got to be consistent. And then it's inevitable. And here's what'll happen. John goes on, Jesus goes on to show us three things that'll happen in all of our lives if we'll allow that process to go through. Really quickly, I'm gonna bang through them. Buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. First one is this, we just saw it. You'll start to pray differently. That if you'll allow God to transform and change and shape your life, you will start to pray differently. Your prayers will move from God, I need, and can you help, and can you fix, and this is all messed up, and they'll start to change from God. Man, our Father in heaven, hallowed be you. I'm looking up. I'm looking out. It's not just me. It's not just a me-focused spiritual life. I'm not just in it so that I can get something. My prayers start to change. And Jesus promised, again, this is Jesus. You take it up with him. If you remain in me, if my words remain in you, pray, ask, whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Now, a bunch of TV preachers have twisted this, and they've said, the reason that God's not giving you what you want is because you're not praying right, and you need to send me some money, and if you'll just send me the right amount of money, then all of that, it's garbage. What happens is the previous six verses talks about, go back to that last slide. What are the previous six verses said? Remain in me, get connected to me, let me prune you, let me change you. And the result of that, verse number seven is, well, my heart has changed, and because my heart has changed, my prayers change. Because my heart is different, the way that I converse with my Heavenly Father changes. It's not just about me. My heart is aligned with his heart, and so I start to ask him for things that are already on his heart. It's not a me-focused faith. My eyes go up, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come in my marriage, and your kingdom come in my workplace, and your kingdom come with my kids, and your kingdom come with my thoughts on earth as it is in my life, as it is in heaven. And then there are some things, I need. Give us this day our daily bread. I do have some things that are missing or broken, so I do need help with it. But I'm just telling you, if you'll allow the process of change to run its course, you'll start to pray differently. The second thing, quickly, God gets glory. Then my prayers change and my prayers get answered. God gets glory. Verse number eight, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce fruit and you prove to be my disciples. Here's what that means, is that your transformation puts God's power on display. That when you allow this process to be worked out in your life, then you go into your work and the impatient people suddenly become patient. And the greedy, selfish people suddenly start to become generous. And angry and bitter people suddenly start to become kind. And people look at you and they think, well, that's more than just a self-help book. That's more than just they got inspired. There's been a revolutionary heart change. It's more than just they had a New Year's resolution and they've really worked hard at it. And what they'll do is they'll say, there's something bigger at work. The Father is glorified. Jesus said it this way, that you're the light of the world, that you're the salt of the earth. And so let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works, they see what's going on in your life, and that they would glorify your Father in heaven. That God gets glory through your transformation. Your life is better, you're more patient, you're more kind, you're more generous, your life is moving in a better direction, but more than that, God is glorified through your transformation. The third one, then we're gonna be done, that people get loved. Your prayers change and get answered. God gets glory. People get love. Two verses, number 12 says this, this is my command. So this is like Christianity 101. I know it's hard, but love one another. Now that's hard for us because there's some really annoying one another's in your life, right? Come on, somebody, let's all tell the truth. There's some really frustrating one another's that you're sitting next to or that you're going to work with tomorrow or you're gonna go see at the restaurant later on. There's some, but love them. Well, I can't. Well, that's because you're not transformed fully. That's because that your heart is not all the way aligned with God. And I'm the same way. I've got some room to grow, but I'm grateful that God is patient. So he doesn't say love to start with. He says, man, get connected and get pruned and make it continual. And then one of the inevitable fruits of that is your heart is going to start to change towards people. Your heart is going to start to be shifted towards people that otherwise just drive you absolutely crazy. Love one another. Listen to this. As I have loved you. Remember when Jesus is saying this? In a few hours, he's getting ready to die. As I have loved you. This is profound what he's saying. He says, I want you to go into your world because your heart is changed, because you're starting to be fruitful. And part of that fruit is the people that absolutely drive you crazy. You are going to have a supernatural love for them. Now, I'm not there yet. And maybe you are, and teach me your lessons. But I'm growing in it. He would go on, verse number 17, skip down a few. This is what, listen, this is what I command you. So it's not like, I could do with it or do without. No, it's a command, love, and there's no qualifications. Love one another. Not the people that, you know, act the way that you do and think the way that you do and vote the way that you do and live in the neighborhood that you, just love, no qualifications, love one another. Why? Because fruit was never meant to stay on the branch. Fruit is to nourish, and fruit is to help the other people in your life. And what happens is, well, my family starts to taste the fruit of my life, and you're more patient, and you're more kind, and you're more forgiving. Love isn't the goal of transformation, it's the proof. So you've been talking about, that you've heard that phrase, the proof is in the pudding. I don't even know what that means, because I don't really like pudding that much. It's not something that I would ever choose. But in Christian life, the proof is in love. That if you start with just trying to love people, man, that's going to be frustrating because people are the worst. But it's the proof that, man, my heart is being changed. And so we started with this question. And you've asked this question. And it's not even the worst question in the world to ask. But here's the question that we've all talked about. How can I become a better version of me? We've all asked that question. How can I be more kind, and how can I be more patient, and how can I be more thoughtful, and how can I fit into some clothes that I used to be able to fit in? And some of those things I can't help you with. I could introduce you to people, but I can't help you with all those things. But character-wise, this is not the best question. It's an okay question, but it's not. Because again, God's not looking for a shined up you. He's looking for a new you. Here's a better question, and this we're going to close with. How can I stay connected to the one who makes all things new? How can you just stay connected to the one who has promised, I will make all things new? And some of us, you have been trying so hard and you've made resolutions and you've read some self-help books and you've been to counseling. And I'm not saying any of those are bad. I'm not saying you shouldn't do any of those. But if you try to force change through sheer willpower, now there are some elite people that might be able to do it. But most of us can't. Most of us can't get there. And it's the process of it is exhausting. And so Jesus invites you. What if you remained? What if instead of the striving, what if you just chose to abide and allowed the time and relationship to turn you into something that you would have never been able to do on your own? Jesus's words, stay connected to me and you will bear fruit. Not might, not you could, but you will. It's a promise. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your words that have been preserved for us. Thank you that you have loved us. The way that you see us is through the lens of love. And so, Lord, I'm praying for those this morning that are here in the room, that are watching online, that they are in that frustration. They are in that striving. I know there are some things that you want to change. I know that I should be better. I just can't get there. Lord, would you help us to start with just remaining in you and be willing to take the time? We all want overnight transformation. We want to be different tomorrow. But as we wait for you to produce fruit in us, would you help us to lean on your strength? Help us to lean on your grace. Help us to resist temptation. Lord, we want to be willing to be pruned by you. And for some of us, that's going to be painful. That's going to be hard because we've held on to some things that have gotten really comfortable. But Lord, this morning, would you give us just enough faith to open up our hands and say, if you want to change me, then I want to be changed. Give us the grace and give us the faith to do that. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.